It's time for the Apple Watchcast. The new ECG feature of the Apple Watch is finally here, and we'll tell you all about it. Plus, Apple quietly launches a sleep monitoring device and a couple of really wonderful videos from Apple all about real stories of Apple Watch saving lives. This and a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And I want to give a shout-out and Apple Watchcast thank you to ESO for becoming a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Thank you for your support. We really do appreciate it. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 262, recorded Sunday, December 9th, 2018. The heart of the matter.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, Tom. Good evening from cold and snowy Tennessee.
You got a lot of snow there, did you?
We did. It was a little unusual. Where I physically live, it wasn't that bad, but all around me in the north, just a mile or two north, they got hit pretty hard for Tennessee standards.
Yeah, I saw reports on Facebook, people posting photos of, you know, 8 inches of snow. Mm-hmm. Crazy. We're very lucky down here. We just got a bunch of rain. And temperatures drop, but not like that. So we're very fortunate. Right. Vincent, just to let everybody know, is off this week. He's out of town, as they say. Hopefully he'll be back with us next mm-hmm. week. But it's been a fairly active week for the Apple Watch. There's not a lot of different stories, but one big event did happen that we've been waiting for, and that was the arrival of the ECG feature on the watch. We finally got it. So we're going to spend a good chunk of this episode pretty much talking about just this new feature, sort of getting to the heart of the matter, so to speak. but there are a few other little stories we'll touch on. Anything else you want to mention up front before we get into this?
No, I think that that seems to be the top kind of focus this week.
Yeah, definitely. And again, this is something we've been waiting for since the September event.
Is that when it was announced? It seems like
And it seems longer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
let's kind of back up a bit. There was an update this week to both iOS and the watchOS. For iOS, it was 12.1.1, and for watchOS, it was 5.1.2. And you need one for the other. So update your phone, mm-hmm. and then you'll be able to update the watch. And these updates brought with them the new ECG app for the Apple Watch. And again, like we said, this was announced at Apple's keynote back in September when they unveiled the Series 4 watch and iOS. They talked about it with iOS 5. And it was promised by the end of the year, and they finally made it. Okay. They didn't wait till the very last day. So that's good. But they did finally get it out. Now, just a quick note, this feature is only available on the Series 4. Mm-hmm. So for listeners without a Series 4, please bear with us, and maybe this will help you to decide if you should upgrade or not.
It might.
Yeah.
It might.
And you know what? I started thinking about this, and I never put the two together, but I guess there was another reason that Apple changed the look of that crown from the red dot to the ring on the Series 4 is because they needed a clean contact for your finger.
Yeah. You know, I thought of that too. Yeah. And the first time I tried to do the ECG, which I know we'll talk about, I think I pressed the crown versus just putting my finger on
it. Yeah, that's the thing. I pushed too hard. Yeah,
me too.
You don't have to do that. You just barely touch it. So, we'll get into this. So first of all, Chris, without getting into like medical degree detail, tell us what ECG or EKG, I mean, I think they're interchangeable. What it is and why having it on the watch is kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah, I think, Tom, I definitely will keep it at a ECG for dummies level, as they say.
That's perfect for me.
Last couple of days, I kind of got into it a little bit because, you know, we all know what it is, kind of. But after reading a little bit, I was like, wow, there's so much to that little wave that you see now on your watch and on the PDF that you can create. And every time you go into your doctor now, I'll be like, hey, I kind of know what the pulse looks like. But really, EKG is using 12 leads and 10 electrodes across your body to measure the electrical activity within your heart. And when you look at the heartbeat, again, we've all seen it on medical shows. We've all seen it when we go in for physicals. But you're just kind of looking for the big blip. And There's really seven parts to that wave, and I'm not going to go through all seven parts, but the key parts there's a preparatory phase for the what they call the atrial systole part. There is a preparation phase for the ventricle contraction. Then the big part is actually the peak, and that's the ventricle actually contracting. So that's the good part. And then there's a little dip after that, which is the post-ventricle contraction. So all three of those kind of make sense, the pre-contraction, the contraction, the post-contraction. Then there's another little part where the ventricles recover. So when you read about it, you're like, wow, you look at the blip and you're like, yep, my heart is doing the right thing. But again, there's seven little pieces of it that the doctor looks at. And when you take a EKG and you have a correct heart rhythm, you know, the doctor sees it. And then really what happens in AFib, which I think you'll probably talk about a little bit or we'll talk about, is these seven little pieces kind of don't work well. You know, the ventricles just aren't firing correctly within your heart. If there's doctors listening, they know I'm butchering this, but you can look online and it's kind of, there are places where you can look at it and see it in these little pictures, and it kind of shows a normal heartbeat and then a AFib heartbeat. And it's just that you can see that the heart is just got a lot more electrical pulses than it's supposed to have. So that's really kind of what the ECG or EKG is. And when you go to the doctor and get the 12 lead, 10 electrode, you know, it's all over your body. And with the Apple Watch, obviously, you have one connection, so there's a little bit of difference. But that's a little bit about EKG, and my medical degree will be mailed to me in the mail tomorrow.
Perfect. I guess, and again, this is a probably a very poor analogy, but what it's looking for is the rhythm between two different parts of your heart, right?
Right.
And how they work in conjunction. So think of it almost as pistons in an engine. If they don't fire correctly, the engine's still going to run, but it's not going to run very well. Same with your heart. It'll still beat and be fine. You may not even notice the symptoms, but if it's off, that's not good. And that's really what this is looking for. And as you mentioned, we're only getting one. When you go in to get this done by a medical professional, you're going to get 12. And they're going to be able to read it a lot better. And that brings up another good point, is it's going to give you a readout. And unless you're trained to know what to look for, looking at the readout doesn't really help you. Like you said, you see the blips and you think that that's all that there is to it. There's a lot more to it. Basically, what it's going to do is do a quick baseline check for any abnormalities that it notices. I guess the theory here is if you can see it with one lead, you definitely have something that needs to be looked at a little further.
Correct.
Let's talk about the app for a second. What is interesting here is when this was announced, everybody thought that, you know, it's only in the U.S., right? We can only get it here in the United States because it had to get approval. right? And I guess they're working on getting approval in other countries. And I can only imagine how much regulatory stuff they have to go through to get that done and approved. But for now, it's only in the U.S. And a lot of people were speculating that if you changed the region on your phone, that you might be able to use this feature. We've now confirmed that that does not work. So sorry, everybody listening from Canada and all these other places. Unless you purchased your Apple Watch in the United States, it's not going to work. And the watch has to be from the U.S. So I guess if you live,
I don't think they've I don't know if they've figured out what's inside the watch that has, you know, determines where it was sold. Is there some kind of trigger in there?
What, as far as the model?
Yeah, as far as how you know it's sold in the United States versus somewhere else.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also, I guess, by carrier, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
For your phone.
The carriers would kind of...
Yeah, it's paired to your phone and they know where that is. So, I mean, yeah, it's basically trying to do this little hack is not going to work. I don't know what people do who live on the border, though, or by the border, right? I mean, if you're just over the border of the U.S., it's got to be difficult because it's not like cell service stops at the border, right?
Well, I think didn't I read that some people bought their watches over here, went back to their country, changed their region, and it worked.
For the ECG?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Then you have to buy a watch in the U.S.
Right, so if you live on the border, just come across the border, buy a watch,
there you
and go back.
There you go. And if anybody's done that, let us know. Confirm that with us. We'd like to know.
But it must be make and model. There must be, you know, when they manufacture and ship, they must align to the make and model.
Sure.
Serial number.
Yeah.
I should say serial number.
So right now, this is only available in the United States, Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Okay. So those are the only places in the world right now that this is covered by. So let's go through the app. It's kind of interesting because you update the phone, then you update the watch, and before you can take your first reading, you have to open up the health app on your phone. And the first time you launch it after updating, it's gonna ask you if you want to set up the ECG feature, which you can do very simply. All you have to do is enter your birth date, and then it's gonna take you through a guide of what it can do and what it cannot do. And it's very specific about what it cannot do. It tells you how the ECG app works. It tells you how to take your first ECG, but it's very specific about it cannot determine if you're having a heart attack. And they stress that over and over.
They do.
Like constantly, even when you're taking it, it tells you, because they don't want to mislead people. This is a difficult thing to do when you're giving this type of medical device. And this is really one of the first things I've ever seen, a device that anybody can go in and buy that gives you this kind of intimate information, if you will, about your health.
Right.
That has to come with all these disclaimers.
I'll be honest with you, Tom. Yeah. There wasn't as much disclaimers as I thought there'd be.
Really?
For someone in my profession where I actually get involved in a lot of contracting and lawyers, I thought, wow, when I kind of went through this, I was expecting more accept kind of terms.
Yeah.
But really, there wasn't as much as I thought.
I think you may have already signed away that when you did other things to set up your phone. I think they already had that part covered.
I mean, they do pop up everywhere and say, hey, we're not, you know, this won't tell if you have a heart attack or not. It doesn't track all AFib. You know, they're constantly telling you.
Right.
But I thought it would be more of I'm hitting continue more than I'm hitting accept.
Yeah, okay. That's a little different. You're right, the terms. Now, it also wants to confirm beforehand that to take an accurate ECG, your Apple Watch needs to be snug on the wrist, selected in settings. And snug on the wrist that you selected in settings, sorry. And it tells you, it says currently that is your left wrist or right wrist. Mm-hmm. So it's just double checking to make sure that you don't get a false reading because you picked the wrong wrist. Because you picked the wrong wrist, it it's not going to really work, is it? It's not going to pick up any heartbeat, right?
I think not, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, yes. So what you do in order to capture an accurate result, and the first time I did this, I had a little trouble with this, actually. You need to have your arms either in your lap or on a desk, and you leave your finger placed on the digital crown for the duration of a countdown. It's going to go down for 30 seconds. And you have to remain as still as possible because any movement can affect the test. Now, here's where I had an issue. I had two issues. Number one, my watch band wasn't tight enough. I get 10 seconds in, it loses contact. So I had to tighten the band. The other thing is that you were doing, too, is I was pushing that crown too hard, thinking I needed a nice, firm connection. You don't.
It's same here.
It's an electrical connection. You can just barely touch it with your finger, and it works. So I was pushing the watch as I was trying to take it. So I had some difficulty at first. So it's going to count down to 30. And while it's counting down, it's also going to be telling you, once again, that if you have any signs, don't feel good, et cetera, go see a doctor, right? So once you've taken the test, you're going to get one of three results. You're either going to have a sinus rhythm, atrial fibrillation, which is AFib, or it's going to be an inconclusive. Okay. Now, as we mentioned, the sinus rhythm means your heart is beating in a uniform pattern. AFib means your heart is beating in an irregular pattern. And inconclusive means either the app had a hard time getting a reading because, like I was doing, too much movement, or the band wasn't tight enough, or there's other reasons that it may not have picked it up. I think one I read in here was if you had a pacemaker, that you're not going to get a... I don't even know if you can use this if you have a pacemaker. That's a good question.
I hadn't thought about that.
We need to find out because I think that can affect the test. Anyway, so you do all this, and then immediately, after 30 seconds counts down, take your finger off, and it tells you your average beats per minute of your heart and whether it's one of those three things, sinus rhythm, AFib, or inconclusive. So if it's a sinus rhythm, it would say this ECG does not show signs of atrial fibrillation. But then it says, once again, the Apple Watch cannot detect a heart attack. If you feel not feeling good, go seek medical attention. So anyway, after the EKG or ECG test, the health app will notify you of the results. It pops up on your phone. It's a notification. You tap on it. It's going to open up the chart on your phone, and you're going to see the actual reading. At that point, you can actually send it as a PDF. You can send it to your doctor or put it on Twitter or whatever you want to do with it. it's pretty neat, and it keeps a record of all the ones you take, when you took it, all that kind of information. So it's just kind of a neat way to keep track of it. Now,
I think you and I sent PDFs to each other via text messages within a few minutes of each other.
Yeah, I posted something on Facebook just a portion, just to say, hey, it works, you know, it's great. Now there is on, Apple's website, there's like a step-by-step as well. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that.
Did you notice, Tom, also in the app, there's a place it says like adding symptoms.
Oh yes. Yes. If you can add, where was that?
It says not feeling well right at when you scroll down after you get the results.
Yes. Right. You can actually, so let's say you're feeling lightheaded, you're feeling, you know, like your heart is racing, whatever the symptoms may be, after you take the recording, you can actually enter those and save them with the reading. So when you send that to your doctor, they'll have some more information. I forgot about that. You're right. It does do that. So the key here to get a good reading, tighten the band, keep your hand steady, and don't push on that crown too hard. That's exactly the three things I can tell you that are going to get. Now, what amazed me was as you took it, it gave you a live reading on the watch.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
It wasn't just an animation. Mm-hmm. That was the actual reading of what it was getting from your heart. That was kind of cool.
It is. Like the first time you did it, which I think I saw on yours, if you push too hard to do something weird, your heartbeat looks really odd.
Yeah, I noticed that on mine. Every now and then there's a little weird piece. Yeah. And it's, I have it on all of them, and I think that's normal. Again, I qualify this with we shouldn't be trying to read these if we haven't been trained to, right? All we need to know is what the result was, that there's no – if you're not feeling any symptoms, you're feeling fine, and it comes back normal, you're probably okay. But if you feel like there's anything wrong, go see a doctor. And that's really it. I don't think that this is something I'll be using a lot. It's good to know it's there. It's good to have it. I'll probably do it, you know, every now and then just to check. But unless I'm feeling something, I'm probably not going to be using it too much. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'm the same place. Again, you never know when you may use it or not. But it's just there's certain people that have certain medical conditions that may want to use it, or based on age, it's just a nice thing to have. And I'm sure Apple isn't just going to sit on their laurels with this release.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's only going to get better from here. Mm-hmm. Now we have already reported there's an incident. When did this come out? What day was that? Was that Wednesday?
Yeah, I thought this was Wednesday, and was that report Thursday?
Yeah, then someone the next morning had a report that they got an AFib result and went to see the doctor. Did they go to the emergency room, I think?
Yeah, they went to emergency room.
Yeah, this was someone on Reddit mentioned this. So what this person did was they took their ECG on their Apple Watch, got the AFib. So sometimes, you know, can be a false positive. He tried it again and again and again, and it still returned AFib. He then put the watch on his wife, and to his surprise, it returned normal results multiple times. He even put it on his other wrist just to make sure it still returned AFib. Okay, so he's doing A/B testing here, and he's narrowed it down that this is definitely something. So he went to some clinic, I guess. And as soon as he walked in, he told him, he said, my Apple Watch was showing signs of AFib. And he bypassed the entire line of people in the clinic. They brought him right back and they hooked him up to do an ECG. And now this one, which I have to assume was like a 12 lead thing, did return AFib as well.
Yeah, probably a 12 lead.
So the doctor came in and told him, he said, this probably saved you. He goes, I read about this last night, and I thought we would see an upswing this week. I didn't expect it first thing this morning. So that's pretty neat. It's already happened. You know, I know a lot of doctors were worried about this, a lot of false results, you know, clogging up the whole system, but wouldn't you rather have that and have it save one person than not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't understand the concern about this. We've talked about
all these medical capabilities many times, and it comes down to it's a guide, a tool. It's not the answer.
Right.
And if you have a lot now that you could use to help understand what your body's doing, but you're not going to self-diagnose and do something, right? You're still going to go see a doctor when you need to. But it's definitely helpful when it comes to understanding what your body's doing at a given time.
Right. And that's the thing here, right? I mean, I guess they're also worried that people who have a problem that it might not tell them, and they think it's okay and ignore symptoms. But I don't know. I think if you're feeling symptoms, would you really rely on your watch?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want a second opinion?
Right.
You know, that you're right. That just has to go with a little grain of salt, right? You have to kind of take the information for what it is and what it's telling you. And that, by that, I mean positive results, right? That show that everything's okay. You have to balance that with how you feel,
mm-hmm.
You know? So in any case, you know what? The world didn't have this last week and now it does. So I think it's a better place for having it, honestly.
Yes.
And I think this is just the beginning of what we're going to see from this. And don't you feel a little bit like you're living in the future now? that you can do this on your wrist?
Yeah, I think this was. I thought it was really neat. That's probably understating how much work was put into doing this. When I say the word neat mm-hmm. versus some other really cool word, but watching the heart rhythm on my watch, and then getting the immediate input saying you have a sinus rhythm, I was like, okay, I better go read what sinus rhythm means. So before I knew it, I knew what that meant. And right. I was like, well, I hit another page. And before I knew it, I was reading all this stuff. I'm like, okay, in an hour and a half, I know much more about my body than I used to.
Right. If nothing else, it makes people more educated mm-hmm. about this sort of thing. And I do believe this is just the beginning. I think Apple is going to continue to develop this watch, as we say at the beginning of the show, every week. Their most healthy device yet, and that's really what it's all about, mm-hmm. Is health. So I would encourage any listener who's tried out this feature, send us some feedback. In fact, I may post something on Facebook or Twitter, a little poll thing about this, but let us know your results or how you feel about it. Is it something that's amazing, or is it just one more thing? let us know. I'd love to find out. Now, also this week, Apple, and this is strange because they did it so quietly. It wasn't really announced. People just noticed it on their website. You remember back, when was this? Back in 2017, well, I guess it wasn't that long ago. Apple
wow,
bought,
was it that long ago?
Yeah, 2017.
Oh my gosh.
They bought a company called Bedit. It's a Finnish company, and that was a company that made this device that you place in your bed that tracks your sleep. It's a sleep tracker. I think Apple sold it in their stores, too, for a while. But they bought the company, and now, very quietly, Apple has updated the device to a new version, and it's now available to buy from Apple. So it's a thin sensor strip that you place under your bed sheet. It will track your sleep behavior. It can measure length of sleep, heart rate, snoring, breathing, even bedroom temperature and humidity. And all of that gets synced with Apple Health and the Bedit app, and it syncs with your Apple Watch. So this is a brand new thing from Apple, a new version, I should say. And I'm looking at the Apple website, and it's $149.95. And if you click on it, you get to see some pictures. It's almost like a belt, a white.
Yeah.
It's like if Johnny Ives were to design a belt, it would look something like this. But it has a cable. It looks like a USB cable coming off of it. Mm-hmm. I would have thought this thing would be wireless. Wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's true.
But maybe not. Maybe a battery in there is a bad idea. Maybe sleeping on a battery.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't see why it would be bad. But
lithium ion battery. Sleep on your phone. No, thank you.
Well, you're not taking it on. Well, I guess you could take it on an airplane if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess you could. Anyway, it's a new device. I guess a new version of the software on this thing. So mm-hmm. it's still done through an app, a Bedit app, which is not. So it's not really folded into Apple's. OS yet, is it?
No, did it look like they did anything to it other than just...
I don't know. It's a new version.
Re-release it?
I think they just... Did they redesign it? I don't remember what the old one looked like.
Well, I was going to go back and look at the new one. It's really thin and it mm-hmm. really looks nice, the new device. But I just didn't compare it to the old device. And, right. and I guess they might have done something to the app.
Yeah, now the app is 3.5, I guess, is the version.
Okay.
Very interesting. It's another health thing that Apple's kind of quietly getting into. And then the other thing that happened this week, Apple released a couple of videos that I thought were just amazing. These are real stories of people who have had their lives pretty much changed by the Apple Watch, either saving their life or alerting them to an extreme medical condition. And it's amazing to me when I watch this video, it's called Apple Watch Real Stories, and I'll put a link in the show notes to this one as well. They're beautifully done. And they had, I don't know how many people are in this thing. There must be half a dozen stories, maybe less. But these are stories we've mentioned here on the show throughout the news when we mentioned that, once again this week, the Apple Watch saved someone. It's kind of amazing to see these people now that we've talked about.
It was.
You get to actually see them and hear more detail of their story. They're beautifully done. Man, I would love to know if this was shot on an iPhone, but they're very emotional. And it really hammers home the idea that the Apple Watch is all about your health. And in this case, safety as well.
Tom, and some of them were multi-thread communications, meaning like the gentleman that was in the water.
Yeah.
That he had to exchange text messages with his son to get a number and then dial the phone, right? So it wasn't just a single quick communication. He was using multiple communication to do something. So again, it can be complex or it can be simple, but he clearly said it saved his life.
Yes, and I love how he mentioned that he then realized he forgot he had the Apple Watch on his wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
He forgot that he could use this to call for help. That's amazing. And the other cases were people, like the woman with her baby was in the car wreck. I think we mentioned that couldn't reach her phone, or it was thrown or whatever, and she used the watch to call 911. Stuff like
she
that.
She used Siri.
Or Siri. Engaged, that's right. She used Siri.
Yeah. Voice to engage because she was, her and her son were hurt.
Yes. It's just, these are great stories. The father and son, the father with the son who had the heart issue. Yeah. That one got to me.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Check these out. I'll put a link in the show notes. I love this kind of stuff from Apple. They need to do more of it.
So I was thinking about this before we're doing the show. If Steve Jobs can come back and see this device today, not necessarily in April 2015, but
right.
December 2018, what do you think he would say?
In typical Steve Jobs fashion, I think he would approve of it, but he would also criticize it for certain things. I don't think he could just say that's great, right? That's not Steve.
That wasn't his style.
No, not his style at all. He would probably say doesn't go far enough, right? That you didn't push the envelope hard enough, right? This isn't quite putting the dent in the universe as quickly as he would have probably liked to do it. But I think he would approve.
Right, right.
I think he would approve on the direction they're going, for sure.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there on your entire kind of summary of what he would say and what he would think.
Right.
I mean, he's always pushing his people to the very edge as fast as they could go.
But his philosophy, I always think back to when he interviewed John Sculley, who at the time was running Pepsi. And he was recruiting him to come to Apple. And when they were talking again, this is maybe blown out of proportion over time as to what the exact quote was, but he basically told Sculley, he said, look, he goes, what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to sell sugar water or do you want to change the world? And to me, that's Steve Jobs' philosophy. And I think the Apple Watch is a device that can change the world. And I think these videos kind of reflect that to some degree. So, yeah. And I agree. I agree with Steve too. Probably not fast enough for us, at least for me, right? It's taken the fourth generation to get here to this point. Who knows how long they've had this in the pipeline, right? They've probably wanted to do this from way back, but it just took this long to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, wonderful stuff. Did we cover everything, I guess, on this feature?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everyone should try it out.
Yeah.
Before. I'm sure they have already. Read up a little bit about it and use it as part of your health.
Yeah. Oh, one quick note. I talked about updating the software. I'm actually having an issue with my wife's watch, Series 4. We updated her phone to the new iOS, right? And when I go to download the watch update, it shows up in the Apple Watch app on the phone, software update, whatever, right? Click on download and install. I get an error message that says, cannot download this. This device is not connected to the internet. When
so that's
it is
on the phone when it's trying to download?
Yeah, trying to download the software update for the watch.
Okay.
And I'm stumped. I have restarted both devices. I have gone through everything I can do with just short of doing major things like repairing the watch and all that. I think I'm going to take it into an Apple store. I'm going to have some.
Did you go on Reddit?
Yeah, not much help.
Okay.
Most of the people who had that issue were running betas from a while back.
Yeah.
And this message, and or remember the one that Apple pulled the update to the watch? This is the same message people were getting then that put it into a loop. It's not in a loop. Everything works fine. I just can't get the new update onto the watch. And it's the phone's issue, I guess, or it's the Apple Watch app. I don't know. It doesn't see that it's connected to the internet, but it clearly is. So I'm kind of stumped at this point.
So you can't update to 5.1.2?
Correct.
Ah.
The phone's updated fine.
That kind of stinks.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, I was so frustrated this morning trying to get the. It's like, I should know how to do this. This should work. And it's very frustrating when it doesn't, and there's no reason for it. And you can't find the answer. So I'm going to let them tell me.
That is the hardest part. When you can't triage it or find help online, it just frustrates you. Because then you dial in harder to trying to fix it, and you're just not going to be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I could do major surgery and probably have it up and running, but I don't want to do that. And I have a sinking feeling that when I go into the Apple store, they're going to say, you need to unpair this watch and repair it. And I'm, oh, no, I don't want to go through all that. Because that's the other thing. I looked into the backups. Mm-hmm. And they're, that watch, according to the backups on the phone, has not updated since the new watch was activated. There's no new backups. So it's not backing up either. There's something wrong with that app.
To start piecing things together, you might find a consistent or something that tells you what the problem is.
But again, I'm hesitant to delete the app and reinstall because I may be killing all the data that's in there.
Yeah, that would not
be anything,
good.
If it is there, I don't know. Anyway, I'll figure it out. I'll keep you posted. And what happens with that next week.
Yeah. Knowing you, Tom, and you'd figure it out or you'll be able to report on it when you go to the Apple store and see what they try to do.
Yeah. You know, this is one of the few things I've gotten to the point where it's like, you know what? That's a resource. I'm going to go use it. They're there. Well, you know, we like to think we're experts, but we're really not. We're just great fans of this device. And we know probably more than most people should, but we're not by any means experts at it. So,
and it's more than a cracked screen on a phone where they'll say something and that you're going to probably test their skill now.
Yeah. I'm very curious as to what they're going to say when they see it. all right. Well, I guess that's really it. Anything else before we stop our workout immediately after we close our three rings here?
I just one quick thing. Yeah. I think it was two shows ago that Vincent talked about the Bandkeeper.
Oh yeah.
And Jan emailed us at the Bandkeeper info@bandkeeper.com asking about the Bandkeepers. And I have to say, Jan, thank you for your nice email. We did respond to him, but what I wanted to bring up, Tom, is Jan has 75 bands.
Ooh, competition.
So I think it's more than you.
Competition.
Yeah. So both of you guys need to step it up over Christmas. You're getting your 100. Okay. But Jan, again, thanks for the email. And I know that my business partner did respond to you with some information. I hope that you buy one, enjoy it. And you actually might need more than one, but hopefully enjoy it and let us know if you did purchase it.
I think Jan is at a 4 Bandkeeper level right now. I'm only at 3. So that's pretty good. You're right.
Yeah, I just redid mine. I have about 50.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
And I found I had two duplicates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I didn't know about because I was reorganizing everything just yesterday. I'm like, oh, I have two duplicates here that I didn't really know about. So that might be in my kid's stocking.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what are they? I may have duplicates. Maybe we can trade here. Start a band trading site. We always talked about that. Perfect. Okay, great. Well, I think that's all the time we have for this episode.
That's it, yeah.
Well, thank you, Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So again, check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast service that you choose. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com and we'll try to read it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.